It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world was a time of this and that,
I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something. I told Kenya Martin Jr. Coming out of halftime, I said, I'm going to dunk on him again because he's so far down the floor. And it ended up happening again, you know. But, nah, all praise to, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but number 28, Sabres.
Shengun.
He good, man.
All praise. I mean, there's a certain individual you say all praise to. I don't know that Alfred Sengun is the individual.
Number 26, 28.
28. That was Anthony Edwards.
In 2023, January of 2023.
Who was talking about dunking on him, but yeah. Didn't know his name, but did want to say all praise. We could not find.
That was in the same folder as a Jeff Bagwell on Yuli clip. I didn't want to click on that. That seemed bad.
We cannot find the clip of Dennis Smith is the player. Dennis Scott on NBA TV and other places.
Yeah.
Shinguini. Yes.
He just went Alfred Shinguini. Can't find it.
Could not find it.
I don't know how I spelled Shinguini, I guess.
Yeah, it's tough.
I also apparently didn't call him Dennis or Scott.
So how did you, saved it?
I have no idea. I can't find it.
All right. Well, there it is.
I tried Dennis. I've looked at every time I've typed in the word Dennis or Scott. A lot of Scott Foster clips.
Scott Foster. Him and Chris Paul, one of the rivalries I'm sad to see go when Chris Paul eventually decides he's not going to play anymore. He's currently a Clipper, if you don't know. They lost last night to the OKC Thunder, who won't lose basketball games. The only undefeated team in the NBA. They started the year with two double overtime games. And at least the first couple might have been the first two. The Rockets certainly were the first one.
The second one was also a double overtime.
So I was looking at it just because it struck me as nuts that was the case. And the most ever, I believe, is four for a team in a season. So they're already halfway there with two double overtime games. And, of course, I say I think it's four because you just type in something on StatMuse and you hope they give it to you.
There's not like a...
Yeah. So... The NBA slate is Rockets, Memphis. They got the Grizz against it's the Grizz and Ja. And Ja Morant will be available. So hopefully whatever's going on in Memphis is okay, because mostly I don't want to have to hear about Ja trade stuff this early in the year. I just care about the basketball. I do not want to hear about transaction rumors this early in the year. Also, I mentioned the fact that the guy he's always tied with, because they were number one and two in the draft, and there's been some there was back and forth. Wow, maybe Memphis was right about that one, because Zion's never available and Zion doesn't play to his capabilities. And then when Ja had his issues, then maybe people thought it will flip the other way. Well, Ja's playing, coming off a game suspension from a couple games ago. Zion won't be for 7 to 10 days, because why wouldn't Zion have a issue? It's a hamstring. I think they called it a grade one. So it's not as bad as it could be. But Zion Williams and the winless Pelicans, what a miserable year for them. And if we think back, speaking of transactions, do you remember in the finals where there was a trade and the Pelicans gave the Pacers back the first round pick for this upcoming year? Of course, the Pelicans didn't know that Tyrese Halliburton was going to get hurt later in the finals.
Like 3 days later.
Yeah. So the Pelicans traded that pick to get, I guess, their own pick back.
I forgot what the...
But they traded away what now appears to be one of the more valuable picks in basketball.
Yeah. Or maybe they got a later pick.
Or something like that. And then they traded their pick for 2026 to move up to get Derek Queen.
Mm-hmm. To move up.
So... the Pelicans, if they had just sat still, would have the Pacers pick and their own pick. Two picks in line to be the top pick in the draft.
Yeah.
At worst, what are they picking?
Top 10?
Even if you just go by how the records are going now. Pelicans and the Pacers are just awful. They're the worst teams in each conference.
Congratulations for me on November 5th, typing in Tankathon NBA for the first time.
Shout out.
Long are the days, the Stephen Silas days, where I would have already had it bookmarked. The Pacers are currently the third best lottery odds.
And the Pelicans the fourth.
Or number four.
Oh, that yeah, I take it back. Brooklyn hasn't won a game. The Pacers have a win. The Pelicans have a win. But that pick belongs to the Hawks. So as it stands right now, if the Pacers and the Pelicans don't make that trade, and the Pelicans don't do the dumb thing where they trade up to get Derrick Queen, yeah, they have the third and fourth pick in this upcoming draft. Instead, they have neither one.
Tough.
Shout out to Troy Weaver and Joe Dumars.
They're just going to have to win then. They're just going to have to win. Yeah. You
know? No Zion.
Who cares if you give up the 12th pick?
Yeah.
I was going to say the 20th.
Well, they're so bad.
And then I was like, yeah, they're still not making
the
playoffs.
They're not even getting the 12.
No.
Wow. What a fumble.
Also, it's really bad because in the moment, they traded up. They trade away their own pick to get Derrick Queen, who's pick 13th. Even if this season had gone like the most mediocre way you would think this Pelican season would win, there's no way they're making the playoffs. They're going to give up at best the 13th pick. That was like the best case scenario.
Maybe they catch a break like the Mavs did. Seed. And yeah. Who knows? Maybe they catch a giant break and move up in the draft.
Yeah, but no. They're going to give up a pick that's 10 spots earlier than what they were going to pick. And in a better draft, it looks like. It's early. Every draft is always super good before they actually have to, you know, pick the players.
Yeah,
but
true.
Every draft looks awesome.
It feels good to be watching and covering a team who does smart things, because you could always be covering the Pelicans.
The Rockets, this is not the 26th draft. This is the 27th draft, where they have both the Suns and Nets pick.
And the Nets don't look any closer. The Suns are at least battling, competitive. Yeah, who knows what they'll be in 27.
You could squint and be like, maybe they're decent.
Maybe Jalen comes back and helps, whatever. But the Nets.
Not a year away.
Not a chance.
Not a year away.
Not a chance. Let's get to Longhorn Keith here. What's up, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
We're good, man. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you. As always, great show. I want to go back to start this conversation off with the conversation you guys had in the 9 o'clock hour with Tom Herman. I was headed out to a meeting, but I caught portions of that interview. And what caught my attention was, by the way, it was great to hear him back and talking about just football in general and what he's spending time with his family there in Florida. But one of the questions I was asking him that I caught at the very end was he interested in coming back? And specifically, his answer was, coming back as a coordinator. And that stuck out to me like a sore thumb, because I've said this for the last few weeks now since all of these firings. I think college football has a problem, and it's still going to be my favorite sport no matter what. But college football is having a problem with the idea of, like, most good or solid coaches don't want to deal, at least from what I took from that, deal with the minutiae of myopic fans, of fan bases who think that their team should be one of the 12 best teams in the country, or at least make the college football playoff, which is just absolutely wild to me. But then, not to mention that you have a guy who has offensive coordinator abilities, and also head coaching ability, saying, I just rather stay being a play caller for a good program, simply because of all of the stuff that comes along with, or at least I've read into that, all the stuff that comes along with being a head coach now that, you know, revenue sharing is a part of this, as well as the NIL. I love college football, but I think we're riding a slippery slope where this idea of firing coaches with the anticipation of, like, hiring the next great thing, I don't see that on the horizon. And for fans to think that your team is going to go undefeated or to have one loss, to me, I think that's a far-fetched dream. And I certainly want to get you guys' take on that, because, I don't see how college football, one of my other issues is that, look at what they're doing to themselves, and specifically the administrators and the presidents of these, or athletic directors of these universities. They leave so much money on the table for these coaches, it's ridiculous. Like, You owe and you still got to go hire somebody. That's insane to me. So I want to get you guys' thoughts.
Appreciate it. We talked about this a little bit yesterday in regards to Josh Heupel. Tennessee fans are upset. We played the sound from Kirk Herbstreit. He got after the fans for their want to make a change because they're having a year that's underwhelming. Came after the loss to Oklahoma, which makes Tennessee a three-loss team. And it looks like out of the playoff picture. Who knows? A lot of things have to go in their favor, and of course they would have to win out. He called them out, and he mentioned the fact that, hey, you should be locking up that staff for 100 years in hyperbole, which leads into what you're talking about, Keith, as far as paying the money you got to pay to get a coach and then maybe keep him. And then what happens when you're unhappy? You got to fire him. It costs you to pay him off. It costs you to hire the next coach, because if you're Tennessee, you're not going to hire some slappy. You want to hire a coach that can take you to the next level, because you just fired a guy who was in the playoff a year ago. We just saw James Franklin get fired after being in the playoff a year ago. There's some long-standing scars for Penn State people because of the inability to win the big game. And then you lose to Oregon, which was disappointing, but then you double down and lose, or triple down when you lose two more times to teams you should beat. So there was a lot that went into that. But at the crux, that guy was in the national, semifinal? His quarterback throws an ill-advised pick, and now he's gone less than a full season later. So, yeah, it's a little nuts. I think you got to kind of be a maniac to want to be a college football head coach. And in some ways, you have to be that to be successful. You talked about how Tom Herman, which if you missed it, Tom Herman joined John Lance at 9. You can hear the entirety of that interview during the second hour of the podcast, which should be up right now. But look at the coaches who have dipped. Jeff Hafley said, I don't want to be the coach at BC anymore. In fact, Sean, can you find the Bill O'Brien, the current coach of BC? Clip it's over there. Hafley leaves to be the DC for the Packers. Chip Kelly decides, I don't want to be the head coach at UCLA anymore. I'll go be the OC for Ohio State. Wins a national title. By the way, Chip Kelly got criticized mightily for his game plan against Michigan. One game you lose against your rival, then of course he goes on to win a national title. He dips there and is now the OC for the Raiders. Chip Kelly never liked to recruit, so it's probably best for him to be a guy who's a coordinator in the NFL. It's a special breed, man, to want to do that job, particularly when the way college football is going. And I don't have any sympathy for the coaches. I've long said, hey, that's what the money's for. If you take the job and the multi-millions, adapt to what's going on. But I get it if you decide, hey, I'm in here to coach ball. And if that's what you want to be, you just want to be a ball coach, go be a coordinator someplace. And particularly if you can find your way into an NFL job, go do that. Because for the most part, all you got to do is coach ball.
Yeah, I will say the coordinator thing doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
At the head coach, at the college level or the NFL level?
At the college level. Because if the fan bases are crazy and they're firing coaches willy-nilly, like, they're going to also, when they fire James Franklin, they're also going to fire the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. It's like, I'd rather just, if I can be the head coach, I'd rather just
maybe
be
you
the
don't
head
want
coach.
To deal with what it takes to be a head coach. And as it stands now, coordinators make $2 million, $1 million, depending on the program. So if you'd rather just be dialing up plays and, if it goes poorly, all right, you get fired. But your ego will tell you it's not going to go poorly. I can do this.
Yeah.
So you'd rather just be insulated. Yeah, the coach gets fired. He may fire me if things aren't going well.
That's
as the scapegoat.
You're the first one out.
But at least, and some coordinators don't even have to recruit. They maybe the quarterback's the only one they have to really convince to come play there. Maybe that's all you want to do, and you'll take the potential of being fired because your offense is performing in a substandard way. But you don't believe it's going to happen. You may understand the reality of it, but hey, I'm Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
My offense will work.
I think if you believe in yourself, though, you'd be like, let me just be that coach.
I don't even call the shots.
No one knows how to call the shots like I do.
I don't even think. if it was just about ball, I think guys, in some cases, now you see enough guys do it.
Well, if it's just about ball, they'll coach high school.
No, it's ball and getting paid. But you don't.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But you don't want to be the head coach because you don't want to deal with the booster.
But you
don't
want to get paid.
But you also don't want to be the head of the program. You don't want to deal with anything. You just want to get paid and coach ball. And for some guys, and it doesn't happen. It's not everybody. Chip Kelly is an example. He's not the norm. Most guys want to be the head coach.
LSU isn't going
to
be like, couldn't find anyone to want this job. That's, sorry.
That's not the case.
No head coach this year.
But Lance, from his perspective, has said guys want to get out. They want to go to the NFL level, to your point. Maybe being on the college level doesn't make sense, but they want to go to the NFL, some of them. But other guys want to be on the college level. They want to be heads of the program. It is, we're talking about a select few who decide, I don't want this anymore. I'll take it. I'm still getting a great paycheck, but I'll take a big pay cut to not deal with all the mess.
Yeah.
It's not that many, but it is popping up here and here and now.
Another issue with these guys wanting to be NFL coordinators. What if the NFL doesn't want you to be the coordinator?
Well, then you're stuck as the head coach, but that's why you're Jeff Hafley and someone did want me to.
Yeah.
And Chip Kelly, someone did. And then you move on. I mean, you have to have the other side of the equation wanting it to happen. But
only 64 jobs.
But look, man, I think coaches, in some ways, try to avoid adversity as much as they can. As much as they talk about their players having to deal with it and work through it, I don't think they want any part of it. So I am not surprised that the thought is comforting. Go, you know what? If an NFL team comes calling for me to be a coordinator, I'd love to do that because I think they're adversity adverse.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think a big part of this is people in general, not just coaches, love to complain about their job.
Sure.
And their jobs got harder and salaries also went up, but their job got harder.
Yeah.
And they want to complain about that, not about like, well, I'm getting paid now. Like, I'm Rhett Lashley. I'm getting paid top three money. All right. But my job's harder.
Mike,
and then they tell their media friends, my job got harder. And the media is like, whoa. Is it going to be a college football exodus of coaching? It's like, no, people are going to want these jobs.
And I don't know if this was something John talked to a coach about or it was just his feeling. I didn't really dive that deep into it. But do you remember when Ben Johnson had that back and forth with one of the reporters?
Oh, yeah.
At halftime and I guess she didn't phrase the question exactly like he wanted it to be phrased.
It was like kind of snippy.
Snippy. And I had no sympathy for him because I said, that's what the money's for. You know, those sideline interviews that happen because you're a TV product. You know what happens because you're a TV product? You get all that money because everyone wants to watch. And now I think John and I had a back and forth where he said, that's not what the money's for. Sure it is. That's part of being a head coach in the last 30 years. Coaches do those interviews now because it's all about TV. And I don't know what Ben Johnson's getting paid, but I'm sure he's getting paid great. Yeah. And if you have to deal with a reporter asking you a question in a tone that you didn't like just because you've worked 80 hours a week to get ready for this game, so be it. Comfort yourself with that house that you're living in. Yeah. And your family is set for life no matter what you do after that. You can deal. And he came back and did the mea culpa, and I shouldn't have done what I did. Yeah. Who knows if he was forced to or he did it out of the goodness of his guilt. But either way, deal with it.
Ben Johnson. Not just you, but you're getting paid more than like Tom Landry ever got paid. You know why that is? People want to watch this on TV.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. You're coaching a Bears team who's fine this year, but it ain't like people flock to Bears football unless you're Joe George and his ilk. But you're still getting paid a great wage. Just deal with all the nonsense that comes with it as a head coach.
Yeah. Hey, Josh Heupel, you're getting paid way more than Philip Fulmer ever did.
It's true. He's got a national title. What do you got so far?
Yeah.
One playoff appearance. All right, we'll go to break with that. You mentioned Josh Heupel. His game was on ESPN. A loss to Oklahoma, which got all this started. You can watch ESPN if you're not a YouTube TV subscriber. If you are, like myself, you need to go to keepmynetworks.com to figure out what's going on because you want your ESPN back. You want game day. You want to watch SEC football. You want to watch all the college football and of course, Monday Night Football as well. So keepmynetworks.com is the site for that. We had Longhorn Keith on. He brought us some college football stuff. We'll get into the CFP rankings, the initial ones, when we come back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's the Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
The first CFP rankings are out. No real surprises. I mean, maybe if you're an A&M fan, you might feel like you should be higher ranked considering what you've done so far. You're top four. Not a big deal right now. Yeah. And you've got plenty of opportunities to either solidify that spot, go higher, or drop. Because
Indiana and Ohio State.
They'll play each other at some point. So if you finish undefeated, you'll at least finish higher than one of them. Yeah. And
Ohio State has to play Michigan. Loss.
And no matter what the situation is, that's always a chance for a loss, which is part of why the rankings don't matter to me that much. Whether you want to call it chaos or just the business of college football, do I believe, as it stands now, these will be the teams? Partly, no. You know why? Because, actually, I should say it in this way. No, and partly because BYU and Texas Tech play each other on Saturday. They're 7-8 in the rankings. They play each other at 11 a.m. this Saturday. The ACC is a mess. Do I trust that Virginia will finish with no more losses? Have you seen Virginia play football? No, I don't. I don't know who's coming out of the ACC. Right now, Notre Dame is in a great spot as long as they win out. They do have, randomly, Pittsburgh is in the top 25, so that game will have some meat on it for Notre Dame. If Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh has Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami.
They're definitely going to affect something.
Yeah.
They're not going 0-3 in that.
If they go 3-0, they go from, oh, look, that's cute, yeah, to they're probably in the playoff. Of course, they'd have to, if I don't know how it all works out with tiebreakers, but if they wind up in the ACC title game, then they would have to win that too. But that's where we are, where Pittsburgh, who's at 24, I think, right, has a schedule that sets up for them where if they go 3-0 against all of those teams, we have to seriously consider Pittsburgh as a team in the playoff. And right now you would say there's no shot because of where they are. So, yeah, they're out. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, and Alabama, your top four. Cool. Georgia's five. That's fine. Who does Georgia play, Sean, that may be of importance to you?
They play Texas after, not this week, but next week.
Yeah.
They play Texas.
And Texas isn't currently in the field because you have to include. No, well, you do have your two losses. You also have to include the fact that you need to take an ACC team, which is Virginia at the moment, and Memphis, who is a group of 16. So Texas may be a team ranked in a spot where they could get in, but you got to take into account those other teams who are obviously lesser than Texas.
Obviously.
Despite the fact that Texas has two losses and their biggest one now is Vanderbilt, right? Or do you think Oklahoma without John Mathier?
Well, Oklahoma's 12 and Vanderbilt's 16, so.
Yeah, but
no, I'm just.
But Vanderbilt
just
was
saying,
nine at the time.
I'm just saying by the
by how it's ranked now. But at the time, Vanderbilt was a top 10 team in the country.
Yeah. Yes.
So
Vanderbilt was nine. Oklahoma was 13.
And if you had not, fallen apart late, that would have been a dominating win.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch it through three quarters, Texas was dominant, and then
I think you should just.
No, I can't. I think it should be taken into account when it's in terms of what Vanderbilt is about, because we watched them get dominated for three quarters and then it turns into get an onside kick and they may go have a chance to win the game. So I'm glad it's out. So we kind of know where everyone stands. As far as any controversy, you start to look at head to heads. They did honor the head to head, except for one spot, one pair of teams.
Which
if you look at it,
Texas, BYU beat Utah.
So they're ahead of Utah.
Yeah.
Texas is ahead of Oklahoma because they won.
Yeah.
Alabama is one spot ahead of Georgia because they won.
Yep. Georgia's a spot ahead of.
So while you may look at the last 3 weeks and go, you know what? Maybe this team shouldn't be as high. They're not playing well. But they do have a win over a top 10 team and they're eight spots behind. Can you guess, Sean, or do you even have to guess what scenario is playing out right now? Who are the two teams I'm talking about right now?
Is it USC beat Michigan. That,
they're ahead of them, right? Isn't USC out of Michigan?
Yeah. I have the rankings, yeah.
Yeah. Same number of losses in all these cases, right? And the head-to-head winner winds up ahead of the other team.
Vandy is 7-2. Mizzou is 6-2.
Who was ahead of who?
Vanderbilt's 16. Ah. Mizzou's 22.
Got it.
Oh. Is this... Oh, Miami of Florida is 18th. They're 6-2. Notre Dame's 10 and also 6-2.
Now, you cannot dispute Notre Dame has gone on a run, and Miami struggled the two out of the last 3 weeks. But should there be an 8-spot difference between the two teams when there's a victory for one over the other, and the other's best win right now is number 19 USC? Should there be 8 spots? If we're just, I would even say by how they're playing, sure, right now.
Yeah, I mean Notre Dame coming off a thump of 15-point win against one win Boston College. I mean, how do you argue with that?
And we'll get to the Boston College head coach here as well. Sure, if you want to, and I think the committee said, hey, we got to see a more consistent run from Miami. So
fair.
After watching them over the last 3 weeks, I would agree.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's fair.
And hell, I would even go back to the fourth quarter against Florida State. They've not been great for a good bit now. But head-to-head, they've honored that except for one specific spot. And it's not like Notre Dame, as you pointed out, is lighting up the best of college football.
I mean, 15-point win against Boston College, please.
What are we doing? So
15. Two possessions.
So I guess the question will be, if you are someone who would love for this to be a point of contention later, can the struggling Canes rip off 4 in a row to be 10-2? And if Notre Dame is 10-2, since the committee asked for Miami to be more consistent, if they're both 10-2, which means they have played good football, for a month, are you still holding Notre Dame above them? Because Notre Dame doesn't have much on their schedule besides Pittsburgh. Navy's having a good season, but they're still Navy. And then they finish up with Syracuse and Stanford. Two common opponents, Miami, and actually three. They'll have three common opponents throughout the year.
So maybe we'll figure out.
So we'll see. Yeah, no, we shouldn't use the fact that they played each other. Let's see how they do against Syracuse, whatever, Stanford, and Pitt to determine if they both win all their games. There it is. Look, I am not one to defend Mario Cristobal at all. But I will be damned if I pretend like Notre Dame should get favorable treatment, even though I know they do.
Yeah. Notre Dame's the one that kind of sticks out a little bit, but
they haven't lost since week three?
Three, yeah.
So
they had a bye week between losses.
And they got better losses.
They have great losses. Although, number 18, Miami's
not such a great
loss.
Why are
you messing around with them?
Yeah, I mean, Miami lost to Louisville. They're higher ranked than Miami.
Yeah, Louisville's a bad loss.
Yeah, the SMU loss is a bad one. I can't justify that.
But the
A&M loss is a great loss for Notre Dame.
It is. It's
one of the best losses in the country.
I mean, you got
to outside of
all,
Texas to Ohio State.
Yeah. Oh, just fantastic.
What a great loss.
Loved every second of that loss.
It was a very entertaining loss for the Longhorns. So there it is. While I say some of this with tongue in cheek when it comes to Notre Dame and Miami, I don't think Miami should be in the playoff field right now.
8 spots is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous when you talk about Notre Dame's schedule and what they've done so far.
Like Notre Dame. Has Notre Dame played? Yeah, I guess they should be probably ahead of Virginia, right?
Probably, because Virginia, they beat NC State, and I believe Virginia lost to NC State.
Virginia did lose to NC State.
Yeah, so
not a ACC game though.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where the ACC will play the same. Yeah. They'll play teams in their conference, and they wind up not being conference games. So they have a common opponent, and Notre Dame thumped NC State, right, while Virginia lost them by 4.
Yeah,
so
Virginia has a win against Louisville. It's a better win than...
As if we go by...
That's a better win.
...than anything that Notre Dame has done. But they
beat number 8 Florida State.
At the time, it
just says number 8
next to
the
At the time when they beat them, yes.
Number 8. No, but I mean, yeah, I mean... I mean, Notre Dame's in the playoff. Congratulations, folks. Don't lose to Navy,
Pitt. Those are good football teams.
Okay, so Navy and Pitt. Don't lose to those two. Syracuse, Stanford.
Bad football
teams. Come on, guys.
What are we doing? So
they're, I mean, I expect at least 15-point wins, like against Boston College. really can't do the, like, they're playing so good right now.
When they have a 15-point win against Boston College. Yeah.
I think they're tied with Boston College, like, halfway through the game.
So when we get to the unlikely event, because I expect a crystal ball loss here anyway, but when we get to the unlikely event of 10-2, I'm ready for that conversation just to see how it'll be justified.
Well, because all that matters is that you win. Like, I mean, we can talk about Texas. Like, went to overtime against Mississippi State and Kentucky.
Yes.
But no one really cares.
No one really cares. As long as you win the game.
They won, four straight now? Like, you know, like, that's what it just gets spun into. Yeah. Is that they won four straight.
As much as that game control thing was a thing for a while and the strength of your opponent, as long as you win games and you have a name attached to it, you're as long as you are the name team, you're going to be considered.
And for Texas, like, there's really no – like, I just want to be above Oklahoma for sanity reasons.
It makes sense to be above the team you beat.
Yeah, but I mean, Texas plays number 3 and number 5 and Arkansas.
Yeah, if they win their games, no questions about them.
That's why I'm just like, sure, whatever, 11. Okay. Cool.
And I can have this I hate Notre Dame conversation because I don't expect Miami to be 10-2, so it doesn't matter. I don't care. Well, we can have the conversation now while it's still viable.
Yeah, while it's still an academic discussion.
When they lose to NC State, then... Hey, remember that stupid thing that talk you're having?
Yeah. I wish we could go back because I can like pull up old, like last year's rankings. But I wish I could pull up like the Danny Cannell tweet from last year's rankings or like the what was the like talking point from last year's rank? Because I don't really remember that well. Like what the Week 11 CFP like controversy
Neither
was.
Do I.
I'm sure there was one, but like that it always. Well, it's always going to seem so small once we actually get to the first week of December when they actually have to pick these teams.
A lot of games left that matter, and we'll see how they play out as we move on through the college football season. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with some – we didn't know this at the time, but we got some Texans injury news to discuss, and it may affect them considering their issue scoring touchdowns. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about where you can find the CFP show when you want to watch it.
Yeah, every Tuesday you're going to have a CFP rankings reveal on ESPN. And if you want to watch that and you're a YouTube TV customer, well, you're going to have to get ESPN back. How do you do that? Thank you for asking. You're going to go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, this wasn't the player I was talking about before we went to break, but Jalen Smith. Third round pick back on, well, he's going on IR. He hasn't had a lot of time, been injured really since we knew who he was. And now he's back on IR. So that's unfortunate. Durrell Taylor goes back or he goes on IR as well. While you'd love to have him, unfortunately, the one most consequential to a potential win on Sunday is someone I haven't mentioned yet. Kymie Fairbairn is banged up. Didn't know it. At the time, at least after the game was over, but he is someone you have to monitor. They have signed a kicker to the practice squad, and they'll give him a look this week to see, and they have to wait on Kaimi. So, yes, he misses field goals from beyond 50 sometimes, and unfortunately right now, the Texans feel like an offense that are going to put him in a position to kick a lot of 50-yard field goals as they try to find ways to score points as we enter the practice week with likely CJ Stroud not available and Titus Howard not available as they try to work through concussion protocol with the Jags approaching on Sunday. So that'll be something to take a look at that maybe we're not going to have Kymie Fairbairn this week. Not great. I think field goals are going to be needed, but he's on the injury report. we'll see where he stands as we move forward. It's the worst when a guy gets hurt and you didn't even know it and he pops up. Kicker aside, I mean, it just particularly if it's important.
Yeah,
it's you're like, wait a minute, what?
The guy finished the game and
yeah.
he's hurt now.
Yeah,
like, that's not how that happens.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it is a pretty big injury. I mean, just to the drop off from a NFL kicker, not just an NFL kicker. An NFL kicker has been good and been on your team for half a decade. Like the drop off to. What was this guy's name?
Matthew Wright.
Matthew Wright. Like, no offense, Matthew Wright. But, like, that – I can't imagine that there's a bunch of really good kickers that just don't have jobs. You know, you watch the kicking around the league, and it's like I can't imagine that there's a second stringer that has – you know, that can step in and be ready. I mean, didn't – I forgot if this was against the Jags or if it was against someone else. But the Texans did lose a game, I want to say in 2023 – based off of Matt Amendola having to kick a game for Kyemi Fairbairn. I forgot if that was against the Jags or who that was, who that game was against. But yeah, I mean, like we've seen it before where it's like a guy misses three kicks and you sit there and you go, man, Kyemi would have at least made one or two of these.
He was 0-for-2 from 50 yards in a 24-21 loss in 2023
against the Jags?
Against the Jags.
Yeah. So like,
good memory.
This is one where like you can't have that, you know, like you don't have the room for error that the 2023 team had over. I mean, period. And then against the Jags, we're like, no, you need to win this game to make up ground against the Jags.
Even the 2023 team that season came down to the final week of the season. So, but I get your point. They weren't at this point 3-5 and desperate for a victory. Yeah. So Matthew Wright hasn't been like anyone's first choice kicker.
Has he kicked in the league before?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, he was the Jags kicker for 14 games back in 2021.
Ooh. Okay, inside knowledge. Okay, I see what D'Amico's doing.
Sure.
Pick his brain a little.
A coach ago. Two coaches ago. Was that Urban Meyer's first year?
What, 2021?
Yeah,
21 was his
first year. Two coaches ago, inside knowledge.
Pick his brain.
Trevor Lawrence. Like, they need it for Trevor Lawrence. But, yeah, that was the last time he was anyone's kicker of choice. Like, he's filled in for two teams in 2022, but yeah, not a guy they pull off the street when they need him is what he's been. And the Texans may need him on Sunday. So be on the lookout for that. Now, I typed in Jalen Smith to find out more information from him, about him.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that pops up is he may or may not be in a relationship with U.S. gymnast Suni Lee. That's his claim to fame, at least for me.
Wait.
Yes, that's Suni Lee.
No, I mean, this Jalen Smith was going to be my question.
Yes, this Jalen Smith.
There's not like a – I know there's an NBA player named Jalen Smith.
It is it's J-A-Y-L-I-N.
Okay.
This Jalen Smith apparently
– okay.
Is either was dating Suni Lee, the Olympic gymnast, or currently still is.
Take as much time as you need.
What you understand.
Yeah.
I get it, man.
You can't risk anything.
Third rounder, rookie. Yeah, he did spend the four games or so.
But
on
if he
IR.
Gets hurt, you know, NFL, it's a violent game. Get hurt, career's in jeopardy. I'm guessing you're not going to be able to date Suni Lee then. So,
if do whatever. You no longer have a job.
Yeah, do whatever it takes.
She won't. Date
I don't think she's going to date a Houston gambler. Is what I'm saying.
Wow. Now,
just stay healthy. Stay healthy. Listen to your body. Do what's right.
He's on IR.
Kyemi.
Get your ass out there.
Get your ass out there.
Wrap that leg up and get out there, whatever your problem is.
Shoot up Toradol, whatever it
takes. You always want a guy to shoot up Toradol.
Because it works.
I'm not asking him to do that. Hey, whatever, massage, whatever it takes, just get out there. I type in Jalen Smith, and one of the headlines is, Suni Lee says she's gotten so much hate over her relationship with Jalen Smith.
Really?
Yes, apparently it has something to do with things we aren't privy to. Culturally, there's an issue, allegedly, that she talked about. But yeah, I don't know. We had who was the guy? He's in Green Bay now, right?
Yeah, Jonathan Owens.
Jonathan Owens.
That's what I was thinking too. That's why I thought, you know, there might be a mix up here, because how's there a second defensive back, rotational defensive back for the Houston Texans?
We have cornered the market.
Multiple time gold.
We have cornered the market. On guys who...
That should be a recruiting pitch.
Hey. Well, they don't have to. They just draft
them. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, but still.
Maybe free agency.
It is rather
it's insane. I know,
unique and insane that this is the case.
They have one of the complex. I don't know if it's the like official Team USA complex or if it's just like the coaches, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's in spring. So it's in the area. So there is like a – I guess it makes some sense, but that's crazy. Why did we not hear about this when he got drafted?
I don't know why.
I feel like that should have been like the second bullet point.
Yeah, I'm staring at a picture now. This is back in 2022 of him hugged up with her. And apparently she got hate for dating him because I'm probably going to butcher this. The HMONG community. I don't know how that's pronounced. Giving her issues because he's black. So they've had to deal with the hate of that. But shout out to Jalen Smith. Hopefully you recover. But if you're still dating Suni Lee and, you know, her taking pictures at Knicks games with OG Anunoby, it's just two people being friends, salute to you, sir. Hopefully things are going well there. And hopefully you get back in time for the rest of the year. Jonathan Owens and Jalen Smith. I don't even have to say that's got to be some kind of record. Oh, it definitely is a record.
Combined games played for the Houston Texans and gold medals. Gold medals in gymnastics. That has to be a record.
Has to be a record. Hopefully that relationship is thriving if it still is going on. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. I do want to remind you, as always, it seems over the last 4 or 5 days here, the way to watch college football, at least for most of you, is to turn on ESPN and find the game of your choice. And right now, you can't do that if you're a YouTube TV subscriber. So go to KeepMyNetworks.com. Whether it's the game or one of your favorite talk shows, maybe you missed Stephen A. Smith. There's a reason why as a YouTube TV subscriber. Go to KeepMyNetworks.com to check out what's going on. KeepMyNetworks.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
Rockets Grizzlies tonight. I'll be focused on that. Other than that, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess it's just an NBA night. There's nothing else out there to take a look at. Oh, we got Maction, as you mentioned. We're still in the middle of what, that 48 straight days of college football or football.
Still in the thick of it.
Yeah, we're still there. So if you wanna take a look and get your fix on
Northern Illinois Toledo.
A classic.
Kent State Ball State.
Warms my heart. I hope I need a weather situation, honestly, if I'm gonna tune in. They tell me we got a blizzard or heavy rain or snow.
Yeah.
I'm in. But if it's all regular ass 45 to 60 degrees, I ain't in.
I'm not gonna watch. Sleet is always on the table
for nice.
Action.
Or just fog.
Yeah.
If you want to give me fog, I'll watch. But if not, I'm gonna stick with the NBA.
Big win from Ohio last night.
Is Ohio they beat They're Miami, right?
Yeah. They beat Miami. Back to back losses for Miami. It's tough. Oh no, wait. That was Miami of Ohio.
It may very well be Miami of Ohio losing two in a row. I don't know. The Red Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, they are 5-4. So they were, coming off a win against Western Michigan.
Oh, can we get to this? I kept talking about it.
Yes. We're talking about.
Let's get away from the Mac stuff. Let's get to the Boston College head coach reacting to a reporter asking him a question. And that Boston College head coach is Bill O'Brien. We talked about Jeff Hafley leaving Boston College to go coach at Green Bay as their DC. Well, the guy who got the job is Bill O'Brien, and he wasn't thrilled with a reporter's question as they're in the midst of a bad season. Here's Bill O'Brien.
Coach, I'm wondering, give a message to the fans, obviously losing to Notre Dame Catholic school rival, 1-8 now in the season BC. I've heard from a lot of fans.
I'm really glad. I'm glad you're down. I'm not down. Nobody's down. We're fighting. We're competing. You know, it's the second year of this program, Mike. You always come in here with these down questions. Like, you show up like once a month or something like that. You come in here with these down questions. I'm not down. I don't know what year you graduated from BC, but this is a program that we're building. Okay. Nobody here's down. We're positive. We're going to show up and play our asses off against SMU. You can go out there in your dark, clouded world or whatever it is and do what you want to do. We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting. That's my message to the fans. What's up, Trevor?
What up, Trevor? Trevor's like,
love
what?
That. Love that part. What's up, Trevor? I would be, if he did that and I was like, what's up, Sean? I'd be like,
oh,
you know what? I don't have a question.
Yeah,
sir.
Hey, that's all.
I don't have a no
we're,
question.
We're good here, man. I'm trying.
Y'all good?
He did go to BC, so he did know that about him. Bill O'Brien did know that about him.
He knows.
Mike Galtieri.
Now, he, you know, I don't know how old this guy is, but what,
I'm looking
like,
at Mike Galtieri
right now.
I graduated
the same year that Matt Ryan did, so. You know,
yeah, he's seen the good times.
Because someone quote tweeted this and was like, it's not that long ago that Boston College was competitive in football, basketball, and then they threw in hockey because they won the national championship in hockey.
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know what you've been through, Mike, as far as BC football is concerned, but this program has stunk for a long time.
Yeah, it's like,
that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Tom O'Brien was pretty good there, Bill.
Yeah, I think it was like, it was the early 2000s. It was like they finished the season ranked in both basketball and football.
Yeah, and they were like number two in the country in one of those Matt Ryan years. It fell apart because it was the 2007 year, one of the weirdest years in college football, a year where West Virginia lost to Pitt when they had a chance to play in the national title. Like West Virginia, who unfortunately beat the Cougs, has had their ups and downs with head coaches. Yeah. That was the Pat White era, and they beat Pitt at home, and they go play in the national title game.
Yeah.
And instead they don't, and then two lost to LSU. Goes on to win a national title.
By the way, I like BC's chances. Just based off this alone.
SMU?
Against SMU. SMU riding high.
I saw the SMU team, which makes it worse. They're not that, well, at least on my TV.
Yeah.
They're not good. They're not, at least not that good.
In Boston, please.
With Bill O'Brien fired up the way he is?
Bill O'Brien fired up. What's Boston temp looking like? It's 11 a.m.
Weather.
That doesn't help.
How warm will it be for the Mustangs?
Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts weather.
As Sean looks that up, we're done for the day. Maybe Sean will have that information for us before we go. But we're done. Rich Eisen is up next. And, of course, he's followed
62.
By Jeremy. SMU will be fine. Question is, can they go on the road and get a big win against the non-black cloud having Boston College Eagles? Bill O'Brien, the epitome of joy and sunshine. He, of all people, telling someone they've got a black cloud over their head.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'm looking at Mike Galtieri. He doesn't seem like a guy with a black cloud. I mean, it's just pictures, but he's always smiling. All right. I said it before. I'll say it again. We're done. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
What's up, Trevor?
No Trevor here, Bill. I'll talk to you tomorrow.